Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents the 22nd edition of Fran's World. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. Hightower Westchester, your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, the house that Service built, and Accorda Therapeutics, Life Science. Don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. You can like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Shark Creative. And now the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She's the world's fastest talking woman. She lives in her world, and you're welcome to it. It's Fran's World. And now here's your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, thank you. Here we are again. Nice, lively atmosphere, music in the background. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. So let me give you a little recap here on what's been happening since the month has passed by now. So you guys know that I've been with Steve, my husband, for those who are just tuning in for the first time. So I've been with Steve for 20 years, but we just got married in 2016. And so what happened was all this time I've been like, Steve, we should take a dance lesson. We should take a dance lesson. He was like, I don't like to dance. I don't want to dance. And I was like, okay, fine. You don't have to dance with me. I'll dance with somebody else. You know, you do the threats. And finally, he goes, all right, you really want to dance? I go, all right, I'll barter with you. I will help you clean the boat if you take a dance lesson. So, of course, I always like to drag everybody in. So I made my son and my and his fiance take the lesson. So now we're taking this waltz and the rumba. And because he is not doing really well, I'm leading. And he's getting mad. He goes, stop leading. I go, well, you can't just keep me in the same position. There's four steps here. You got to move me around the dance floor. And so I let him do it. And he goes, well, now I'm worried about stepping on your feet. I go, well, it's not called dancing if we just stand still, you know. So we were doing it. But then afterwards, he got into it. And then the following week, Mother's Day, you guys were hanging out with your moms? Or mm-hmm. Yeah?
We were.
And so I went rail biking. Do you guys know what that is?
I've heard of
rail biking,
it.
I asked you about that.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the rail biking is actually an abandoned railroad track that they have up in Phoenicia. And they take a bicycle, either it's a bicycle that the wheels are meant to fit the track. So it's almost like those old fashioned cartoons where you're pedaling. It was so much fun. It was like a 2-hour roller coaster ride. You didn't really even have to pedal. We got up to 15 miles an hour. We're going down there. They have one person who's doing the brake in the back, so Spencer's doing the brake, and we're going and going and going, and all of a sudden, Steve moves like his whole body, and the thing falls. I go, Steve, you took the thing off the track. He goes, man, this was the best part. I go, Steve, we can't. So they told you don't get off if anything happens. Nobody was around. We got off. We lift the 1,800-pound thing, put it back on the track, and, you know, we start rolling. But it is so much fun. But the thing is, like, booked up until, like, September. If, you know, they have sometimes. But if you guys are looking for something fun to do, rail biking is really a cool thing.
Very unique.
Yeah. So speaking of cool things, the next thing, I just did a talk yesterday at Putnam Valley Business Network. I did the annual dinner. And so we, you know, I was talking on creativity and marketing. It's been a busy week, and now I got the radio show today. And tomorrow, which is Saturday, May 25th, we're doing our last comedy show until the fall, Terramina's Restaurant. And obviously, I'm producing the show, and I've got Patty Rossborough on the show, and Vinnie Marks, and Larry DiGregorio. And it's going to be a great show. And Vinnie does this whole thing where he gets put in a straitjacket and with an audience member, and he has to get his way out of the straitjacket. So it's really cool. I know people that like to put in a straitjacket without needing to do that act. But anyway, so that's tomorrow night if people want to come. Terramina's, 59 Hudson Avenue in Peekskill, tomorrow night, and the food is really delicious there. And so you get there at 7 o'clock, you get the buffet, and then after that the show starts at 8:30. You have a bunch of laughs. You don't have to drive far. There's parking. It's all good. All right. So we have a great show lined up for you. Now, here's the thing. So it's already now. We're already in May. And this is around the time the kids are getting out of school, depending on, you know, where you live and everything. And so what happens is this is a time that a lot of people want to sell their house because they're like, you know, while the kids are out of school, you know, you, well, it's not like the kids are going to help you pack, let's be honest. Okay, but this is the time where people decide to move. But the thing is, when you're looking for a house, you have to know what you're looking for. So I figured it would be really good to have somebody on who can give you that type of information, it's practical information. So I will introduce my first guest. He's got a lot of credits here, so I'm going to be reading it. So his name is Rhett Marks, and he's a native of Westchester resident. He's a former real estate salesperson turned home inspector. And since it's live, you can see his hat over here. Says the home inspector. Okay, so you see I'm not lying. His prior real estate career, along with his experience working for a prominent home builder in Westchester, makes him a triple threat. You know, like they have that in acting. Well, this is what they have in home inspection, allowing him to serve his clients in a way that's different from other home inspectors in the industry because he knows it from all sides, from the real estate side, from the inspecting side. He's passionate about the industry, uses his experience and knowledge to help him feel comfortable in your new home. Yeah, he's going to sit there. He's going to live with you. No, I'm only kidding. Okay. Which is probably your biggest investment of your life. He's certified professional inspector trained by InterNACHI, the world's largest nonprofit association of residential and commercial property inspectors, so he can examine various systems of your home. Because remember, it's not just, you know, you look at a cabinet, you go, hey, we're good. You got to look at the plumbing, the electrical, the roofing. You got to get someone that's going to crawl down, get, you know, into the little nitty gritty there. And so he's here today to give us some pointers. And you know, the best part about this, he's only 24 years old. 24, and he's doing these things. And I love his name, Rhett, because Gone with the Wind is my favorite movie. So we got Rhett Butler here. We don't want Rhett Marks. All right, so there we go. Welcome to the show, Rhett.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, good, good. Well, all right, so now, you're 24 years old. How, and you have all this ton of experience already. So what made you decide that you knew that you wanted to do this?
You know, it's funny. I actually had no idea what I was going to do. When I came out of high school, I like accidentally found myself into real estate. My brother was getting into home flipping, and I didn't exactly know what I was going to do. So he said, listen, I need a reliable and trustworthy real estate agent to help me out. So I got into it. He moved on to bigger and better things. And I said, okay, do I really want to do real estate the rest of my life, or do I want to do something else, something more of my choice? So I knew kind of home inspection industry from being around the real estate world. And I said it was an easy transition to get into. And that's kind of how I got into it. And I've been blessed. I loved it ever since.
So basically it was your brother's initial pushing you into it. And then you were like, hey, this is not so bad. And so you went from one to the other. Now,
exactly.
Did anybody else in your family, I mean, obviously you said your brother did it, but it wasn't like your dad was a home inspector.
No, no, not at all. My older brother was, he's been in commercial construction for like 10 years.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of followed after his footsteps. He's been a little bit of a role model to me, and he's an awesome resource to have in this industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always good if you have somebody in the family. Hopefully somebody you like that's not going to screw you.
No,
because otherwise, if you have somebody that you don't like and you're like, wait a second, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
that's not, you know.
He's all right.
Yeah. So when you worked as a builder, were you actually hands-on labor?
Oh, yeah. We were very hands-on. I mean, doesn't matter what the weather was. We did everything from foundation up and rain, you know, excessive heat, excessive cold. I mean, we were out there. Walls and
so you're like an Amish guy.
And plumbing,
everything. Yeah, exactly. You could raise the house in just like in a couple of days. You're nice and easy. Like, what do you need? You need a barn built? I'll build it for you.
Exactly.
So the cool thing about that is if you actually were hands-on and you were building, then when you're looking at something, you could say, hey, this is junk or this is really good because you've actually built yourself.
Exactly. I walk into a lot of homes, and many of the homes I walk into are like flipped homes, and sometimes they can be notoriously basically a nice home with band-aids on it. So you can't really see what's going on if you're just the typical home buyer.
Mm-hmm.
But having a home inspector that knows quality building, it's good to have by your side.
Yeah, see, because it's a difference. Like a lot of times, what do they call it? Like staging your house. So somebody's selling and then they'll paint the wall and they'll put up a new cabinet, you know, and the cabinet could be held together by like, you know, spit and gum. And you have no idea because it looks good. And then you look inside and you go, hey, no screws. You know, but people don't know to look for that. And that's one of the reasons I imagine that you would want a home inspector to
exactly.
come in to say, hey, you're going to put a dish in there. This thing is going to fall down.
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell the people what like a typical like home inspection covers. Like what exactly are you looking for to help the buyer or seller?
I mean, I'm trained to look for things that the normal buyer can't find.
Okay, such as?
But, for example, the other day I was walking around the home, and there was a termite monitoring program in the ground. You know,
Termite monitoring program?
So the home either had termites or they were being because it was a wood home, they were being cautious and installed it. Basically, what it does is it treats the ground to keep termites from attacking the home. But a normal, you know, home buyer might not know that. So they go to buy the house, and then 6 months later, they're like, wait a minute, what is this while they're doing gardening? Do I have termites here or something? I didn't know this. You know, I didn't see this when I was buying a home. So I'm trained to look for things that other people, normal buyers, can't find. But more intense, I guess, you know, I'm trained to look at the grading of the property, whether the home pitches towards the home or away from the home to keep water away from the home, the foundation, the siding, walkways, steps, windows, doors, roof systems, that's including the gutters and the chimney.
Fireplaces, crawl spaces,
all
I imagine
stuff.
It, all
yeah.
that stuff. There's a picture on your website that I like because you're like up on the roof, you know, taking a picture. I'm like, oh, good, he's up there, he's not afraid of heights, he's, you know, doing all that stuff. So it's adventurous also.
Absolutely.
So, and what I liked is also you have a service called Home Binder, and that organizes and saves all the related home info in there. So, for example, if somebody painted their living room, I don't know, purple, well, why they would do that,
right.
I don't know. But let's say they painted it purple with polka dots. You actually have the two colors in your system. Is that how it is?
Yeah. So you could record the colors that you painted each room. And if you do like an accent color on a wall, you can record like in this room, in the living room, on the... You know, the wall facing the front door, we painted it pink, and you could do the shade of that. So 10 years down the line, you want to repaint the wall, you know exactly what color you did, and you could go and get that exact color. But, I mean, it records more stuff. It, you know, also has maintenance, automated maintenance reminder alerts. It has automated recall alerts. So you buy a refrigerator, you put in the serial model number, you'll actually get an email if there's a recall alert on that system, which is pretty cool.
So is this part of the service that you offer? Is this an app? What is this?
So after the inspection, you'll get an email with your sign-up information for this home binder. So typically when you get a home inspection, you might have gotten a few home inspections.
Right, yeah.
You get a three-ring binder at the end, and it has like a bunch of information on home ownership and maintenance and tips and all that stuff. But what I found is that a lot of people don't look at that. It just sits on the shelf
and you're
and
also
gets
a millennial. And so millennials go, forget the paper. Let me put it on the computer so you could access it from anywhere.
Right. So this is this is digital. So essentially it's a digital three-ring binder.
Right.
But it offers so much other stuff. The really cool thing is that you could also record any costs and remodeling costs and stuff like that into it. So at the end, when you go to sell your home again 10 years later, you could use it kind of as a marketing strategy, saying, I've done all these improvements of this home, and I have all the proof and the receipts to
sue that. And by the way, I just want you to know, you hear hammering and everything in the background. Rhett's actually got people working here where we're taping. And so he's, you know, they're doing improvements right behind us, and just to prove that he actually is always working. So if
we're
you hear...
We're going to inspect this live.
Yeah,
we're going to inspect it live, right?
Right, we're going to inspect it afterwards, and we'll watch Rhett go, no, sorry, you moved that tile in the wrong way. So, so that's good because for non-tech savvy people like me, you have that all set up and that's free of charge. What I also like is some people don't think, you know, they're just thinking of the home, but then they don't go outside and they think of the septic tank and checking for radon. Right? Now, what exactly is radon?
So radon is a naturally occurring gas that comes from the rocks in the ground. The U.S. Surgeon General says that one in every 15 homes across the country has radon, and it's the second leading cause of lung cancer in the United States. But it's odorless, it's tasteless, it's smellless. You can't see it at all. So
there's no, like, like how you put up the little things for smoke detectors and stuff like the carbon monoxide things? There's nothing, radon?
So the way I test for it is I get these two canisters. They have charcoal in them. The charcoal tracks the radon. You put it in the lowest livable space in the home, and then I come back in like 48 hours and pick it up and take it to a lab, and it'll test if there's radon in the house. The problem is with radon is that radon is all around us when we walk outside, everywhere, but when it's in a confined space for long periods of time, and, you know, think about it. If you have a lot of radon coming into a confined space like your basement, and you're going down there every single day, every single night to hang out, watch TV or whatever it is.
Right, you're getting that in.
Over time,
yeah.
You're ingesting it. I mean, so you could install a radon system, which basically basically they take a PVC pipe, they drill it into the ground. It has a fan in it, and it sucks the
radon out
and into the back
into
the atmosphere.
And you could do that, right?
I don't install those.
Or somebody else, but you could let the homeowner know that it has it in there. Well, the other option, too, is you just have your friends you don't like go down in the basement and stay there for a long time. And then you go, just let us know. Oh, you're turning purple. Not a good idea. Okay.
It's almost like the canary in the coal mine.
In the mines, right. For those of you who don't know, like they would actually send canaries in. If the canary didn't come out, not good for you to go. Not so good a job for a canary, though. That's why the pigeons go, just let us carry the mail.
Right.
So you do annual home maintenance plan. What you suggest to people is like every year to do a checkup. And why should they do that? Things deteriorate that quickly.
Well, listen, over time, things, if you don't take care of them, they neglect. With everybody's busy schedule these days between family and working so much, they don't have a lot of time to do the, you know, normal maintenance things that need to get done in a home. So it's, you know, wise, in my opinion, to get an inspection once a year or once every couple of years to make sure that things are working properly still.
Well, that's good. And also, it's better to have a professional. I mean, it's nice that people could sometimes do stuff on their own, but it is really good when you have somebody that knows what they're doing. And if you can afford it, you know, for saving whatever, $100 or whatever you save by doing it yourself, you may miss something that down the line could cost you a lot more money. But you know what I also like, and especially now that it's Memorial Day, is that you give discounts to active duty military, police, and firefighters, which I think is really nice. And do you have somebody in your family that's that, or you just did
No, you know, I just personally think that these people risk their lives every day so that I'm allowed to have a business in the United States. So I want to give back to the people who allow me to operate in this country.
And that's a year-round discount. That's not just Memorial Day. It's year-round.
No, that's all year-round. If you're a former veteran, active, a police officer or a firefighter, even if you're a school teacher, I give 10% off.
Oh, see, that's really nice because school teachers don't get paid enough money for what they do.
Yeah, my parents are teachers, so.
That's what he's doing. His parents said, you better give me a discount.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I'll smack him on that. So that's really nice because, I mean, especially now that it's Memorial Day, a lot of places are going, hey, yeah, come in. We'll give you a free donut. This is a lot better than just getting a free donut.
Right.
And so you work in the Westchester, Putnam, Dutchess area or
Westchester, Putnam, Dutchess, Bronx. That's typically where I work on an everyday basis. If I have nothing going on, I'll go wherever you need me to go. I went to Orange County on Wednesday, you know, so I'm willing to to help out anywhere. Yeah.
Okay, good. I have a friend in Australia.
Australia?
No, I'm only kidding. I'm just saying.
I'll factor in the flight cost.
Yeah, really, exactly. No problem. Yeah, exactly. By then he's going, geez, I could have bought a boat, a house, anything else for that.
Right.
Yeah, really. So if people want to find out or if they want to have, you know, usually, and also, I just think it's great because a lot of kids your age, and I'm sorry if I call you a kid. If I ever call you, like even my son, he's like 30, and he's like, Mom, already, at what point am I not a kid anymore? But the point is that at such a young age, you're being so entrepreneurial, which I think is great because a lot of people just expect things to come to them and be handed to them, and you're actually out there actively working, and I think it's great. So, you know, and you have the experience because you've been hands-on, so I just want to say congratulations on that. Where can people go to get a free quote? What's your website?
So they can visit my website at rhettmarksthi.com, or they could call me personally. My phone number is all over my website. So if you go to my website, you look up my phone number there, and you'll be able to give me a call, and I'll give you a free quote on the spot.
Okay, so say your website again. Spell it.
It's RHETTMARKSTHI.com.
And THI, obviously, if you forget, that stands for the home inspector.
Right.
So you just got to remember his name, Rhett Marks, the home inspector. Okay? And there you go. And so thank you very much for coming on the show. Finish building the stuff back here. We'll check on you later and see how you're doing. And we'll be right back with more Fran's World in just a minute. Stay tuned if you like to find out about interesting things.
Outside your window, what would you like to see? Imagine all the things that could be done to beautify your property. At Michael Labriola, we've led the field over 35 years. Our expert staff brings all their best to give you what you need.
For more than 40 years, Michael Labriola Incorporated has provided complete landscape construction and site development services that will add beauty, enjoyment, and value to your property. Want to make some changes to your landscape this spring? Maybe extending your living space to the outdoors with a functional outdoor kitchen or adding a patio or walkway? Michael Labriola Incorporated can evaluate your property and offer creative ideas. 914-273-6530. Commercial properties always welcome. Learn more at Michael Labriola INC.
Michael Labriola, our last name is the first name in landscapes.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
And we're back at Friends World live at City Center here in Westchester on WestchesterTalkRadio.com live. Westchester Talk Radio live. All right. So, you know, of course, none of this would be possible without our sponsors, Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Lapolis Electrical Contractor, Genesis Exhibits, Breezemont Day Camp, a day camp wrapped up in a sleepaway facility in Armonk, Facelifts Remodeling, and we're not talking about you getting your face done. We're talking about featuring fine paints of Europe and White Plains YMCA. And now we, speaking of our interesting sponsors that we have, you know I always love different and unique things. So our next guest is all about that. And he has a museum, which appropriately is called the Museum of Interesting Things. He's the curator and founder, Danny Daniel, brings his traveling interactive demonstration exhibition of antiques and inventions and inspiring innovation and creativity. He brings it to schools, to libraries, to community venues. Wherever you need it, he could bring it. He's been listed in the New York Times, appeared on the History Channel, the Science Channel, New York One News, PBS, as well as 20 other publications, and presented and spoke at four TEDx talks. Daniel, a New York University graduate, teaches with through touch and feeling. We're talking about with the exhibits here, allowing participants to actually interact with historical items, you know, because how you go to places and all of a sudden you're allowed to touch. Don't touch that. But here, he lets you touch the stuff, and this way you can learn from the past. And when you learn from the past, you can invent a better future. He's done work for the New York Times and Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and lectured at Columbia University and NYU. And he's amassed his collection of antiques for over 20 years. So he's got specialties in science, math, literature, medical toys, music, household photography, all different types of themed exhibitions. And he has the MOET, well, I'll have to ask him what that is later, coincides with the core content curriculum standards for science, social studies, technology, and STEAM. All right, there's a bunch of questions I have for him. Anyway, as he says, we bring back tinkering and curiosity and show kids and adults their iPods did not pop out of thin air, like a circus, just no elephants. Very, very interesting, and therefore I am pleased, excited. I've known Denny for a long time, and actually some of my stuff is in his museum. So, Denny, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Oh my God, that was incredible. That was too good.
You're
too kind.
Oh, thank you. And the thing is, you actually did all this stuff, which is amazing. It's not like you're going, who is that? Who is that person? So, listen, so how does somebody, I mean, what got you interested in this? I mean, did you start collecting things as a child?
So, yeah, I've been collecting my whole life. And I finally came to a proper way of kind of stating this. I say that the impetus to every entrepreneur, everyone who starts something new, is two things. A passion for something, and B, bad bosses.
And what was B?
Bad bosses.
Bad bosses. Yes, exactly. Okay.
So, I call it my Shawshank Redemption.
There you go, right? You're like, okay, wait a minute. I got to get out of here, and I got to figure out a way to do it with something I like. So
exactly. So I made my tunnel, and now my job is to teach other people, kids or adults, to also do a Shawshank Redemption or learn.
Yeah, and to build their own tunnels and figure out their way to get through life to the something that they really, really enjoy. So what was the very first thing you collected?
So, I mean, as a kid, I collected all sorts of, you know, silly stuff. You know, comic books. Well, that's not silly, but, you know, stuff like that. But the first thing that really, you know, was like an antique, not just a comic book or toys, was when I was a kid, my parents moved to a really fancy schmancy neighborhood, Jamaica States, Queens, and I was used to Forest Hills, home of the Ramones.
Yes.
And somebody had an actual, like, you know, one of those garage sales in that neighborhood where, you know, people like Mario Cuomo lived. And I was like, oh my, and Donald Trump, believe it or not.
Yes. He lived in Jamaica, so, yeah.
So I, and I actually shoveled his mom's snow. Someone was doing a garage sale, and I thought, what could people here be selling in a garage sale? And some guy had these two lunchbox record players. One was a Victrola.
Really?
From the 1950s, I would say.
And he was selling it?
And he was selling the two of them. It was like his, you know, he had it as a child and used to take it to, like, the beach with a long extension cord and play records, I believe, in Virginia Beach or something. And he loved it to death. And I fell in love with it immediately and wanted to buy it right away. But he told me his entire life story. And then he goes, let me show you the records. And then he ran and got an extension cord and ran it out his living room window.
Oh my God!
Records.
What a visual!
And I thought, oh my God, I'm doomed. Every time he describes something, it's going to, like,
take 2 hours. Five days later, you'll be going, now can I buy it? No, can't.
I know, right? And finally, I said, okay, I love it. I really want it. And he goes, I can tell that you're going to love it, and that you're going to use it, and you're going to enjoy it, and give it the love that I gave it. And then he said, I'm going to sell it to you for a dollar.
Are you serious? For a dollar?
Yeah.
You know what?
And he said...
Oh, sorry.
I got it, and I fell in love with it. And then I bought the second one, and he said, for that one, I have to raise the price. And he sold that one for double the price, $2.
Oh, my... You know what? That's such a great story. And the thing is that what that to me shows is because he loved it so much, it's part of him didn't want to part with it. But when he saw that you loved it so much, he was like, to me, it's more important for it to have the right home. And that's at a dollar. Jeez, you can't even with a dollar. You can't
and
even
he
was a piece
selling
of-
it because it was in the garage sale. It was clearly in the garage sale, but he knew, and that started me on this idea that, like, wow, you know, antiques and the stories and all that. And many, many years later, I was a child when I bought that. But then when I, you know, like I said, I worked at all these crazy places and all this nutty stuff, and I wanted to find something better to do. And something that I call my mitzvah job, you know, where you change, you know, you help people, you change the world, you help the world.
You give back. A mitzvah is doing a good deed, right? I'm Italian, but I think
right.
I know that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Very New York term. So I tried my elementary school as a test with the museum, and I figured if that goes well, I'll do it. And if not, then I guess I'll be a doctor or a lawyer like my mom wanted.
So that was my next question. What does your family think about the career of yours, and what did they think about it in the beginning?
At first, they were a normal family, and they said they thought it was crazy and silly.
Right.
But now, all these years later, you know, we've gotten so popular, now they're starting to, you know, realize that, you know, this is a good thing, but also legacy work, something that really helps the whole family, too, and it's part of our, you know, our history.
Right. Now, your website says demonstrating the evolution of the idea and beyond. So explain a little bit what that means.
So, you know, a lot of times these days people think their iPhones just popped out of thin air, and they don't realize that there's a long line of inventions. So I show what I call the missing link factor, all the links in the chain until you get to your iPhone.
Oh, that's cool.
Because you would literally have to have a room full of items to do what your iPhone does. From the calculator, the big spindle calculators, to a record player, which was a Victrola and a giant cabinet, to a giant Bellows Kodak camera, you know, like all the, just a few of the things your cell phone does. An attaché case or the brick telephones. I mean, it's insane how many things the telephone does.
You know, that's actually so amazing, because what it does is it actually makes people think, you know, stuff they take for granted, they could say, wait a minute, actually all these things are combined to this thing that I'm holding in my hand, but all these other inventions had to come first for somebody even to be able to implement it in it. So it really is like a learning thing. So can you tell us some kind of, just give a couple examples of the type of stuff that you have? Because you have different categories, the science, math, literature, toys. Like, name some stuff you have that people would see at your museum.
Right. And the second thing I wanted to mention quick is it also, the purpose is to demystify the whole idea of ideas and invention. Because people think that you have to be a rocket scientist or a Columbia, PhD or a NASA engineer to invent something. Invention is just solving a problem. And most of the things in our world that seem mysterious are actually common sense made complicated. And that's also what I try to show. And I try to show it with things like the Thomas Edison wax cylinder record players and 1800 stereoscopes and the big Kodak, box wooden cameras. And
What's a stereoscope?
So a stereoscope is kind of like the Google box, Google Glass or something. It was basically a wood device that you would put a 3D card in, which is two pictures.
Almost like a ViewMaster.
Taken a little off.
My engineer said it's almost like a ViewMaster.
Like a ViewMaster, that came later, around 1939, is when the ViewMaster was invented, because someone realized having cards means you're seeing one picture at a time. So you have to take out the card, put in the card, take out the card, put in the card. Some guy realized if you have a wheel with a bunch of pictures, then you don't have to change the wheel as often. Mm.
See, I love that. Because invention is, every single thing you look at, the chair we're sitting on, anything, it was in somebody's mind first. And, logic gets you, as Einstein said, logic gets you from A to B. Creativity takes you that much further. So basically they're saying, well, I have this and I have this. How do I make it more convenient and take that one step further? And each person that does one step further, then the next person uses that, and it becomes like a domino effect or a stepping stone effect. So what is the oldest thing you have?
So I can, the one thing I loved and my brother didn't love was the fact that we called it the Museum of Interesting Things. He thought, why would you call it that? Call it something more specific, like, technology or medical or photography. The reason I did that is so that I can do almost anything. So I can add, I've been adding iPhones to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So I go as far up as today. Because today things become obsolete in a year.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Sometimes a week.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute, I just bought the phone. Sorry, no longer good. It's too bad you bought it.
Yeah. Exactly. I was using a flip phone. I can't tell you how many kids would go, oh my God, a flip phone. I'm like, dude, that was like last year.
Well, you saw that video on YouTube where they had these kids sitting in a room with a rotary phone, and the kids literally did not know how to use the phone. They were sitting there. They didn't know that they had to pick up the receiver. They're like, wait a minute, we don't get this. And I'm thinking, that's how a lot of parents feel about the new things that the kids use. And we're like, how do you not know how to use a rotary phone? How do you not know how to use a fax machine? But the kids today, everything is, through their computers. So where do you get these items? I mean, do you buy them? Do people donate them? How do you get the items through the museum?
So it's every permutation. So obviously the internet is useful today, but of course in my childhood and all my life, stores, antique stores or thrift stores and that. And now people realize what I'm doing, so I get a lot of donations. Even my neighbors will sometimes leave me a bag at my door with cameras in it or, cell phones in it, Or I've even gotten medical devices left at my door, 16-millimeter films. People will come to our shows. Like, I do a speakeasy once a month. People
and you have one coming up this – you have one coming up on Sunday, right?
Yes, yeah. We usually do it on a Sunday at the end of the month, and this one is a very special one. It's the history of photography, but I'm also doing a magic lantern show, which is very rare.
Which is cool, and that takes place, just for people who want to know, it takes place on Sunday, May 26th at 6 p.m., and you could go to www.secretspeakeasy.com if you guys are interested in going there, and online will be all the information. So I imagine
you missed the one May 26th, there's another one in June, and you'll find out when that one is.
Right. And they can get on some kind of mailing list to know when the secret speakeasies are. Now, does everything have to be in perfect shape? Because obviously these things are old, so everything's not... I mean, are they all working, the stuff that you have?
I try to make sure that all the things are functional. But, you know, obviously, if people are donating things, I can't. Most of the time, the donations tend to be functional, but it's okay if it's not because, you know, sometimes I'm not exactly taking a picture with it. I'm just showing it and showing people what a camera looked like
right. In,
you know, the 50s or the 60s or the 1800s. So I'm cool with whatever, but it's always nice if it works, and I try to make sure things work try to fix them.
And I want people to understand, too. I mean, you have the museum. Where is the museum?
So there's three flavors, I like to say. Most of all, I travel and go to schools. The most important thing in life is to teach people, and especially kids. So the most important thing is that I go to schools all over the country. I've gone as far as Oklahoma, but of course the New York area, New Jersey and Connecticut and all that. I go to schools and I teach the kids. The next thing that we do is people wanted me to open my space up over here, so by appointment, if I'm free and I'm able to, people will do small things here, you know, a couple or four people, you know, over here on our space on Broadway and 8th Street. And then the other thing we do is gigs, like the Speakeasy or doing Coney Island or, you know, the Intrepid.
So there's three different ways that people can see you, and we're getting close to time, but I want to make sure that people know how to reach you. So they would go to your website, which is the Museum of Interesting Things, things, plural. So museumofinterestingthings.org, right? Is that how people would reach you?
.org or .com, both of them.
Oh, okay, .org or .com, because he collects websites too, apparently. And so we got the Museum of Interesting Things at .org, and if you have a party and you want him to come, you know, and bring this stuff to your party, you could do that too. That could be an interesting thing for your party as well. And I just love the stuff you do. Somebody's got to keep this recorded. It's just, you know, history all along the way. So thanks so much, Denny.
Well,
check him out.
Before you go, we have to play some things that you can hear. So let's see if I can make some noises for you.
No. Oh, that actually went too loud. but you know what? People will have to check it out on your site, or they'll have to come and see it in person. So again, check out the Museum of Interesting Things.org or .com and talk to Denny and see getting him into your school or wherever it happens to be. We'll be right back. Frank Capo with more stuff.
Here's a question for you. Do you love your office? I mean, really love your office?
Westchester Talk Radio loves your office, too.
So much so, we've got some great stuff for your office.
Of course, we mean your coworkers.
I believe you have my stapler.
Spread the love throughout your office with a floral arrangement from Joseph Richard Florals and Grey Rock Florist in Armonk and Valhalla, respectively. Chocolate treats from Chocolations in Mamaroneck. A visit from Oasis Day Spa in Dobbs Ferry featuring their on-site massage chair. Website and SEO consultation with MSM Designs. A four-pack of tickets to the Capitol Theater in Portchester. A delicious fruit bouquet from Edible Arrangements of Eastchester. Your choice of an event game from PM Amusements, and 3 months of Shark Creative's on-hold messaging service.
And here's the kicker.
And when you enter your office to win, you'll be qualified for a special prize, a visit from Westchester Talk Radio.
And we'll broadcast right from your office.
Try and get some work done then.
Woo-hoo!
Love your office?
Show the love and enter to win right now at westchestertalkradio.com.
Produced by Shark Creative, made possible by your friends at Entergy. Safe, secure, vital.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
Listening to Fran's World live at City Center, and we're back. Westchester Talk Radio broadcasting live and produced by Shark Creative and made possible by our fantastic sponsors. Come on, folks. What happens if you don't have a sponsor? You don't have a show. Okay, we have a sponsor here. So we have Entergy, Durante Rentals, Reverso Associates, J.P. McHale Pest Management, Michael Labriola, Inc., Salem Golf Club. And don't forget, listen, just in case you don't happen to be listening live, you got to download the Westchester Talk Talk Radio app on iTunes. And the app is free. So I don't want to get any excuses. Oh, I can get the app. Of course you can get the app. It's free. What's a better price? All right. And you need to like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio. Follow us on Instagram at Shark. And that's S-H-A-R-C Creative. See, we're even creative with the way we spell Shark. Okay, Shark Creative. And, of course, you could always go to FranCapo.com. Why? Because that's Fran's world. And you go to FranCapo.com and all the episodes are also listed there. And now, you could only hear me. You could hear me. We have a lot of noise going on here, folks, because everybody's very excited. We just got a lot of stuff that's going on. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You just ignore the stuff that's happening and just focus on what you want. All right. So thank you, Matt, for pointing that out. All right. My engineer always there poking me while I'm trying to talk. But now here's the point. You could only hear me because my voice is loud and because I am talking and therefore I'm using my instrument, my voice, my instrument. I have somebody who is on the line right now that is what he does for a living. He can make your voice strong, powerful, better. His name is Per Bristow. He's the creator of Bristow Voice Method and has become known as the world's, now we said the world's here, most followed voice and performance coach. So in other words, if you need something good with your voice, you need to go to this guy. His home study program, Speak with Freedom and Sing with Freedom, the Singing Zone, have trained singers and speakers in 132 countries. I bet some people didn't even know there were 132 countries, but he's trained them in 132 countries. He does live events, workshop, master classes, and sold out in 4 continents. I actually ran across his workshop and I was like, hey, I'm not a singer, but I am a speaker. And a lot of times when I speak too many times in a row, my voice gives out. I should go to this guy. And we did this whole little prank that we did on stage and everything. But anyway, Pierre is on the line all the way from California. And welcome to the show, Pierre.
Thank you so much. Wow, that's an introduction. Amazing.
Well, you know, and here's the thing I need to point out. Per just said amazing. The word that you always use is interesting. He always said, that's interesting.
Hey, most things in life aren't interesting.
I like that. And the guy that we had on right before actually has a museum called the a Museum of Interesting Things. So this is a perfect segue into you. So I loved what you did at the workshop. Because what you did is you not only gave down-to-earth examples, you got people up on stage, you worked with them, and people could actually see the difference, the transformation. So how did you get started with this particular technique? You know, give us your history.
Well, thank you. The voice is such a fascinating instrument. We all use it. We all need it. Everybody who runs into a voice problem knows what that feels like, especially if you are in a work situation where you need to communicate. But I blend a lot of things from my background, from my sports background, meaning it's helpful to understand how the body works, the anatomy, how we actually access muscles, and how we train muscles, but then also how do we perform well under pressure or when it's important, like on stage when we have something important going on. But then also I come from a music background, so I played the violin, and then I started singing, and I got a sore throat all the time, and I figured, this is an interesting instrument. Maybe I should learn how to use this, actually. But I was also very introverted, so I didn't want to get up in school. I never went up and spoke to people. I was sitting in the back and being a quiet guy, so I was also, so I had all these things, so I thought it was interesting being able to communicate and actually be able to express. And then I started teaching. It's
interesting because as you said that, you know, so what you did was you took your two other skills, which was sport. What kind of sports were you into?
Track and field.
Okay, so you took your running, and so obviously you have to have your breathing down when you're, you know, you don't want to run out of breath when you're running, otherwise you collapse on the track, and then you, you know, that wouldn't be good. Oh, there he goes. Oh, there he's down. Okay, so you had to be able to figure out how to get your body to work, and obviously your voice is part of your body, so you were doing that, and then you made your voice instrument, and you used your musical background. I think that's fascinating to do that, and plus the thing is, you were so personal on stage, personable on stage, not personal, personable on stage. That's a whole other topic. And so you were, you know, everybody was very relaxed with you. I was laughing because you had these exercises. Maybe just do one right now. Like, you know, you have that exercise where you tell people the throat going together and open, so you're kind of going, you know, that with the breathy. Talk about the difference between those two when your voice cords are open and closed.
Right. Yeah. And my strength when I was an athlete was actually not the speed or the endurance. It was more the technical things. So I ran the hurdles and did pole vault and decathlon and crazy things like that. So I learned how to use my body in an effective way, even though I didn't have the so-called natural strength, the natural, whatever we call natural, right? And I don't like that word, talent or natural. And when I played the violin, I had to learn muscle isolation skills, how to move fingers in an effective way. So that's what I brought into voice training, that then how can you develop muscle isolation skills and start feeling these things that create sound inside of it rather than just taking it for granted. And the bummer is that we can't see it, right? So when we breathe, if we just say, we just breathe out, then there's no sound. Well, why not?
Right, exactly.
Right? And then we say, and there's suddenly sound. Well, how come? And we take it for granted until the day when we lose our voice. So we've always been able to do it from day one, but what is it that actually makes that happen? Now, what if we develop the skill to move? So obviously there's some kind of muscle that we're accessing. So how, and these are the muscles, and well, we have these things inside of you that are known as vocal cords, also known as vocal folds, and then there are muscles that move them. So if we're going to do, now I'm suddenly changing the pitch, right? Well, that's a different kind of muscle. It's doing something different. It is so amazing. That's why I say everything is interesting. But if we want to get a stronger voice, a healthier voice, we want to fix the voice problem, we want to get a deeper voice, or singers often want to sing the high notes, speakers often want to get deeper voice, you want to project with less effort. If we want to be able to do all that stuff, we have to recognize what it is inside of us that actually makes it happen.
And right, because you can't do it if you don't understand the basic mechanics of it, because then you're just kind of doing it at random. So you're the coach to basically say, okay, let's make this voice as efficient and work as best it can, and so then therefore you could avoid the other things. What makes your technique different than other singing coaches per se, or voice coaches?
Because you have developed, David, what I consider an extraordinary kinesthetic awareness. And the big trap for most people is that, especially for singers, but also for speakers, is that we use our ears to evaluate whether we're doing something right or wrong, or if it's good or bad, if we sound good or not. You know, singers want to hit those notes, and they're always using their ears to determine if they're succeeding or not, and they've also been taught to sing scales, so therefore they become even more conditioned to use their ears. So what I do, I actually say, okay, let's turn off our ears for a while, and now you can start developing feeling. So not just understanding the mechanics of the voice, but actually feeling it. What are those muscles? Frankly, you didn't even know you had muscles, and you've probably never recognized the tension that we all hold on to, and it's different depending on the time of the day, what's going on, the stresses in our life, how the voice is conditioned, and so forth. So that's why it becomes so fascinating when we develop that awareness. Now, here's an interesting thing also. When we develop that kinesthetic awareness, then we also simultaneously, the way I do it, you also recognize that there are a lot of psychological restrictions. Well, of course, right? Because, well, singers want to sound good. Speaking in front of an audience is known as one of the greatest fears.
Right, exactly. So, death is number three. And I'm like, really? You want to die? And you'd rather die than be on stage? Okay, your choice.
Isn't that interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And if we have to make a presentation and our voice isn't functioning, and a lot of people feel self-conscious about how they sound, so there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people have been really hampered from an early age to not let out their voice and not have their opinion be heard. And, you know, talk should be seen and not heard. So there's so much psychology in there. So that's also a lot of what I do
Because a lot of people, when I was practicing, actually, because I was doing one of your one of your sessions at home. And my husband was downstairs, so I was like, I don't care, I'm going to do it. So I'm doing it. And he goes, you're killing the cats. Even the deaf cat could hear you. I'm like, hey, leave me alone. Per told me that I'm not supposed to care about how my voice sounds. And he goes, obviously, you're taking that to heart. I'm like, leave me alone. I go, yeah, but the thing is, I'm pretty strong. Like, I don't care. But a lot of people could get discouraged when somebody goes, oh, my God, you're awful. Your voice is terrible. And if you hear that once or twice or whatever, or you need to speak up, you get self-conscious about that. And that's like anything. You could be really good at something, but the second someone starts judging or criticizing, all of a sudden you freeze up and something that's natural no longer comes out sounding natural. So you actually take it where people get into a mind frame of, who cares? Just do what you got to do so your voice will be strong no matter what state of mind you're in. And so your workshop to me was not only strengthening the voice, but also strengthening yourself from a psychological position of how you view to use your voice so that you're stronger internally, not just, you know, from your throat.
That's right, yes, because ultimately it is about being able to release your personality, who you are, so that you can do whatever it is that you want to do, whether you want to sing those songs, you want to express, you want to do your one-woman shows. Congratulations to that,
Thank you. Oh, my Love, Laughter, Light. I haven't told my audience yet, but that's coming up June 22nd at Waterbury, Connecticut. Back to Pear. Go ahead.
Awesome. So, yeah, exactly. We all want to express in different kind of ways, right? Like you do now with the podcast, with the radio shows. It's so important for us in so many, and we've all experienced what it feels like when we suddenly become self-conscious or we become nervous and the pitch goes up and we start the voice starts doing all kinds of weird things, right?
And I think, I think the thing is also everybody loves to sing. Everybody uses their voice and that's why they take it for granted, just like walking until something happens.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, what do you mean? I could walk. Oh, wait a minute. I just twisted my ankle. Ooh, that walking thing is a lot, more complicated than I thought about the singing thing. And it doesn't have to be. It can be fun if you do it. So what results can people... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but ultimately it is about making you sing. It is not just singing notes. It is about your personality singing in all kinds of ways. So it becomes a more metaphorical way. And then it's also the peak performance aspect. How do we come alive under pressure? And that's not only for stage. That's for when we're facing a crisis in life. How do you become alive and how do you become free? So that's why my training is I call Sing with Freedom and Speak with Freedom. It's the freedom that we want to have in those situations.
But people actually, besides the freedom of doing that, which is releasing you psychologically, the other thing is that people actually, their voices improve. We saw it happen within a period of like 20 minutes on the stage. So the results that people could expect is that their voices will be stronger so they won't get as many sore throats, that they have a better range. And what other things?
Absolutely. And most people aren't aware of how they can actually train the voice so that they can have a healthier, stronger voice and speak for longer time, period of time, without getting tired. And that's also the connection that we did at the event, which was so much fun when we were actually in the live situation. What happens to the energy in the audience when you can connect and create a bond with an audience in a different way, which you are so good at? And it's amazing when we transfer that from the stage into life, because that's how you become more influential, more impactful, more charismatic. You can be more spontaneous. You come alive in all kinds of ways.
And right, because then people could feel the connection. I got to say, it was actually really funny because that night, I was doing your workshop in the day, and that night I had to run and do a show in Doylestown, so I had to leave a little bit early, and I was laughing because from the stage, I was saying to people, I got to tell you, this guy, Pear, he really, I said, he's over there having all of us going, and I said, if somebody walked in that room at that moment, not knowing he was a coach, they would think we all were like just came out of the asylum. They would have no clue we're shaking our heads, we're moving our bodies. They'd be like, what is this, a bunch of epileptics in the court? What's going on here? And so, because all of us didn't care, we were moving our bodies around. I'm like, oh, my Lord, people walking in, this would be hysterical from another planet. But anyway,
it
felt good, and of course on stage that night, I go, you're lucky I'm just doing my stand up and not doing my singing and moving around and doing all those noises for you. Now, Pear, if people want to find out about you, the best way is they can go to your website, which is Pear. Now I'm saying Pear, P-E-A-R, like the fruit, but it's actually spelled P P-E-R, Bristow, B-R-I-S-T-O-W, pairbristow.com. And the cool thing is if they go there to that website, then it leads, it branches off if they want to go to the singingzone.com or speakwithfreedom.com. So if they go to pairbristow.com, they also get thesingingzone.com, speakwithfreedom.com. When's your next live workshop coming up? Tell us real quick.
My next one is in Europe, actually, in September.
Okay, Europe in September. But they can find that all out by going to your website, right?
Yes, they can. Yes.
Okay, guys, so what basically we're telling you here is if you want to make your voice heard, speak up. Go check out the website, and then you'll learn how to be able to shout across the room without making people go deaf and their blood come out of their ears. It would work out real good. All right. Thank you so much. You're listening to Fran's World. And just, guys, just so you know, I have a show on Saturday, May 25th. That's tomorrow at Terramina's Restaurant, and I am the producer of the show, but I'm also on the show, hosting the show. It's at Terramina's, 59 Hudson Avenue, Peekskill, New York. That's Saturday, May 25th. Seating starts at 7 o'clock. Come on down if you're not doing anything for Memorial Day. Get good food, a lot of laughs. We'll see you next month. I want to thank Jim over here for always being my announcer, Andrew, the producer, Shark Creative, Matt, my engineer. Next show is June 28, 2019. Spread the word. Tell everybody about it. See you next time on Fran's World.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.